Amen. Good morning, church. It's great to be together this morning as our whole New Jersey region, the Garden State Church. Man, it was encouraging to sit there and hear all the updates, the good news. Thank you, Larry, for sharing all of those things. And I'm also just eager and excited to see how God answers as this week we all pray. Amen. I know that God is going to answer our prayers. You know, there is a lot going on. I know this weekend there's a Spanish service going on for the whole church. There's a purity conference going on. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. I'm excited about our campus fall retreat next weekend and being up in Hartford, Connecticut together. Chelsea and I had the opportunity to go out for the first time to the Rocky Mountains last weekend. And so we were asked to be the guest speakers for the Rocky Mountain region's campus fall retreat. And so this is Chelsea and I with some of the mountains in the background there. But hello from the Denver church. It was a blast. They've got a lot of snow already. If you can imagine, I was like, well, I'm not ready for this. I'm enjoying fall still back home. But that was a blast there. We got to have a great time with over 200 college students at this retreat center in the Rocky Mountains. And I do also just want to ask for you to pray for our fall retreat this weekend. We have over 400 students coming. From around New England and New York and New Jersey, and just praying for it to be an uplifting, powerful, strengthening time together. So we're very excited about that. I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm definitely a little in, whoa, it's November already mode a little bit. You know, it's kind of crazy. It's November 3rd. And, you know, November is an exciting month. I like it. I don't mind Christmas coming early. I know maybe some in here, you know, grinchy, whatever, but I'm excited about it. You know, Thanksgiving's coming. It's just the holiday season. It's exciting. I get excited about the you might have seen this up here already, the flavors and the food and the celebration and all that stuff that goes on with Thanksgiving. You know, with November and with the holidays, I don't know if you feel this way, but for me, I get excited about, you know, like pumpkin spice lattes and just all the pumpkin stuff coming out, the PSLs. That's the pumpkin spice lattes, right? So, you know, there's with, maybe you feel this way, but with Thanksgiving, with Christmas, there's a lot of different cravings that come up, aren't there? You know, you're excited about the Thanksgiving dinner and the pumpkin pie and, you know, all of the peppermint stuff and chocolate and just all this good stuff that comes with November and December, right? You know, there's a lot of, you know, do any of you shop in Trader Joe's? You know, you go in Trader Joe's right now, and it's like they've just pumpkin spiced everything. I mean, it's just pumpkin spice cookies, pumpkin spice, it's just everything, mints, whatever. And, you know, I think in the world right now, there's a lot of excitement about different cravings and about pumpkin spice and all that stuff. But this morning, I want to talk about a specific craving that we need to have as Christians, and that's we need to crave spirit. Crave the spirit. Spirit spice on everything, all right? We're going to spirit spice everything. This morning, I want to talk about the conflicting cravings that we live with spiritually. You know, we live with this conflict of the cravings of our sinful nature and the cravings of the Holy Spirit. And just like food, it's a choice what we choose to feed on and what we choose to eat. And I know this morning God is calling us to choose the cravings of the Spirit. Amen? In Romans chapter 7, there's this passage, verse 21 to 23, where Paul writes, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." Now, I think we can all relate to what Paul is writing here, especially this line, "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Do you ever feel that? You know, we want to do good, but then the temptation or the desire to do wrong is right there as well. You know, what I think is exciting for us is that as Christians, we really do have an option of what craving we could live by and that we could feed off of. You know, sometimes we want to be healthy, right? We're like, okay, I want to be healthy. I want to make healthy decisions. This, you know, maybe an underlying message in my sermon is an encouragement this holiday season to make good, healthy choices, all right? That can maybe be an undercurrent here for you. But, right, we sometimes want to be healthy, but you could go to a meal, a Thanksgiving dinner, a Christmas party or whatever, and there's straight up, there's just no good options, right? It's you're like, I'm either starving or I'm eating unhealthy. That's my options here, right? But what's great is as Christians, we have options. We don't have to live according to our flesh. We don't have to feed the sinful nature. We have this other option of feeding the Spirit. But it's a battle, right? And it's a battle at those parties. Maybe there is the healthy thing, but you see the other stuff. And there's a conflict. And we have a choice, but it's a battle. It says the law of God and the law of sin are waging war in our mind and within us. Do you see that tension in your life? Right, of the law of God and the law of sin. You know, but this morning, do you want to be led by the Spirit instead of your sinful nature? You know, I believe we're all here this morning because we want that. We want to live by the Spirit, not by the sinful nature in us. And so that's what my sermon is about this morning, is helping us choose the cravings of the Spirit. You know, this is a battle that we need to fight, and fortunately, God is with us to make it possible. Without God, we couldn't do it. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But with God, we can win this war within us, and we could choose the cravings of the Spirit. And what else is that when we're with God, He even gives us grace when we fall short and we choose the wrong cravings. And then that can compel us to go on to grow and to choose the right things. But our calling is to grow and to live spiritually. In Philippians 1:27, there's this verse that says, whatever happens, right? Whatever happens, that could be applied to literally anything, right? Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So God is calling us, whatever happens, whatever you're dealing with today or tomorrow or whenever, whatever, that we're called to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So God's calling us not to conduct ourselves as members of this world, but as members of His household. And God's household is not a physical household. It's not some temple we could go to. God's house is a spiritual house. And so if we're called to conduct ourselves like members of God's household, then really we're being called to live spiritually, to be spiritual people, to be a spiritual church. And that's what God is calling us to this morning and calling you to, is for us to be spiritual people and to be a spiritual church. You know, one of my kind of main points this morning is that we need to go after being spiritual rather than just trying not to be sinful. Right? We've got this war, sinful nature saying, be this way, and Spirit saying, be this way. And we don't want to just constantly be saying, don't be this way. God is saying, yes, don't be that way, but be this way. Be spiritual. And those two things are very different, right? Just not trying to be sinful is different than trying to be spiritual. They're different in principle, in practice, and in passion. If we're always just trying not to be something or not to do something, it's like being in a fight and you're always dodging, but you're never hitting back, right? Especially if what you really want or feel like is what you're resisting. And then it's like you're not only dodging someone else hitting you, you are, but you're also dodging hitting yourself. Right? And in that lifestyle, in that, you're either going to burn out and lose or always tie and be in a standstill. Right? God's plan for us to change is to fight by choosing to be spiritual, craving the Spirit, not just resisting sin. Amen? No, this was Romans 7, and the next chapter in Romans 8, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh, okay, so those who live according to the flesh live that way, have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires or craves. And so what this is saying is, look, we have two desires. And when we obey that desire, we feed that desire. And whichever desire we feed, gets stronger. And because it gets stronger, it has more control over us, and so we live according to it more or more easily. The one we live by, our mind is more set on, and the one our mind is more set on is going to be the one that we are more likely to live by. Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of like when you start eating healthier, it takes some time, but eventually you start craving healthier food more. And you start craving unhealthy food less. It loses some of its appeal. And the healthy food grows in appeal. Right? And so the more we feed the Spirit, the more we'll want and we'll crave what the Spirit wants. But if you can imagine having two dogs and, you know, you've got them separated and you're constantly feeding one and never feeding the other, and then you say, all right, go ahead and let's have them fight and see who's stronger or whatever. Right? Obviously, the one you feed is going to be the stronger dog and win the fight. Right? And so we have these two natures that warn us, and if we're kind of given in to what our sinful nature wants, and then our, you know, we're in a conflict, it's going to be hard to expect what the Spirit wants to win. Right? We've got to feed the Spirit so the Spirit has a stronger control of our life. So which craving is stronger in your life right now? And are you only trying not to feed your sin, or are you also trying to feed the Spirit? In Matthew 12, 43 to 45, it teaches that when we get sin out of our life, it'll try to come back. And if it finds its old space unoccupied, it says it can move back in, and that it could even be worse than it was before it left. You know, not eating bad food is not the same as eating healthy food. If we deny our sinful nature but don't replace it with godliness, with spirituality, then sin can come right back in and might even come back worse. And so we need to fill with the right thing so that there's no room for what the sinful nature wants to come back to. That's what real repentance is, right? It's not just cutting out the bad, but it's engaging the good, right? It's not just cutting out the sin in our life, it's becoming like Jesus. And so there's passages like in Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, those who are stealing need to stop stealing, but it doesn't just end there. It says they should start working so that they could even share with others. And so that's what I'm talking about here. That's what the Bible's saying is, don't just stop stealing, start working so that you could even share with others. Right? And so instead of just not doing the bad, we get to engage doing something way better. You know, another verse that teaches this principle, like in Romans, is Galatians chapter 5. You guys with me? Galatians 5, I'm going to read verse 16 to 25. Listen to what this says. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I mean, how could I stop sinning? How could I stop obeying? It's such a battle. How do I cut this out? It says, if you live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, what the sinful nature craves. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit craves, what the Spirit desires, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, this verse says, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You know, it reiterates this point that sin and spirit drive each other out. If you by keeping in step with the Spirit's list, we're taking steps away from the sinful nature's list. Right? It's those who live like this, who walk by. Right? Those words that tells us that there's a lifestyle, there's trajectory and momentum in our decisions. That the choices we make are not isolated, but when we walk by the Spirit, we become more spiritual. And when we live like this with the sinless, we drift from God. Right? So we wanna walk by the Spirit, live like this. This the Spirit's list. So rather than just telling us not to live by the sin list, we're given this Spirit list to live by. And if we do, we won't gratify our sinful nature. Amen? Right? I think all of us in here, we don't want our lives defined by that first list of things, right? That's why we did away with that. We want our lives defined by the second list of things. Why do we want that? Because that's Jesus. We see that list of things in Jesus. Jesus never gratified the desires of sin. Not because he lived a life of pure white-knuckled resistance, but because he also lived with pure, wholehearted insistence on walking with the Spirit. He didn't just say, I'm not doing these things, I'm not being like that. He said, I am going to walk by the Spirit and be a spiritual man of God. This has been helping me so much to grow in my spirituality at home. You know, recently I've been finding myself battling after, you know, a day of working and giving and doing things, coming home and having a tough time being spiritual with my family. You know, I want to be, but I get in there and I'm, you know, quick to frustration and impatient. Maybe with being not having it in me to be giving to my kids or to my wife or to serve at home. And I'm finding myself, you know, getting frustrated easily and impatient and unkind. And I don't like that in myself. It's a battle and I don't want to be that way. And I found myself in those situations like, Rob, don't get so frustrated. Don't be angry. Don't say something rude. And it was helping a little bit, but it just would keep coming out when I'd come home, right? And I've been starting to work on kind of the opposite. Instead of just saying, don't do this, don't be this way, I've been trying in the morning to pray through the fruits of the Spirit. And before going in the house when I get home, to say, all right, Rob, be kind, be gentle, be loving, be patient. And it's really been helping me so much, rather than just saying, don't be this, and fighting something I feel like being, to try to give control to the Spirit to be something better and to be something else. You know, we must balance the don't with be, and fill up on the Spirit's craving so we're not going into things empty. So sin's knocking on the door until we finally let it back in. We got to fill up on the Spirit so there's no room for it to come back in. We're becoming someone new. So instead of thinking, don't yell, and trying not to break the law of sin, we could think, be loving, and against such things, there is no law to break. You know, when we're in a stressful moment or a confrontation, or we're in our feelings, this conflict between the Spirit and the sinful nature is at its hardest. And we've got to learn to choose the cravings of the Spirit. But that's why it's also so important to be becoming more spiritual every day. So that we're feeding the Spirit every day, so that in the heat of the moment, our mind is already set on and ready to be controlled by the Spirit's desires. Now, I love in Galatians 6, it's challenging where it says, those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful natures with its desires and passions. Right? That's what we've done when we became Christians, right? Our sin was drowned in the water of baptism. And now, rather than living by chronic sin, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live by instead. And I love that a Christian doesn't just stop sinning. A Christian is not someone who just doesn't do bad things. What is a Christian? Well, I don't do these things. That's how the world sees Christianity. As a Christian is someone who doesn't do these things, right? And sure, it's that, but it's something much more than that, something much better than that. A Christian is someone who's growing, who's learning, who's changing, who's becoming more and more like Jesus, who is the Spirit. That's what a Christian is. And so every time you feed the Spirit, you're keeping your sinful nature starved. And so we get to starve our sinful nature by being spiritual and by choosing love, choosing joy, choosing to be patient and kind and good and gentle, choosing to be faithful and self-controlled, by choosing gratitude, choosing to be spiritual. Right? We've got to choose to live according to these. And as we do that, our mind will become more and more set. And that's more and more who we will become. So what are you wrestling your sinful nature with right now not to do? And how can you start to more fight to be spiritual, to be like Jesus, so that you can overcome that desire? You know, like I said, it's not easy. Paul said it's a war waging in us. War is not a light word, right? That's a fight word. That's a tough word. That's a battle word, right? So really, being spiritual is something we need to fight for. It's not just, we're not just going to wake up and today's the day, I'm spiritual now. You know what I mean? Like we need to, it's a spiritual battle. And so instead of just fighting tooth and nail not to be sinful, we want to fight to be spiritual. Now, one of the terminologies we use in our church and stuff is I'm wrestling with this, right? Man, I'm really wrestling with, and you know, I'm wrestling. And I think we got to think about that word wrestling. I don't know if we have some people who are wrestlers in high school or in college in here. But if you could picture a wrestling match, it's not like this dainty, like, I'm wrestling. You know what I mean? It's an aggressive, like, engage yourself, sweating. I mean, it's wrestling. And we got to think about, man, what does wrestling spiritually look like? Right? We're getting in our Bible every day. Man, what does God say about this? What do the scriptures encourage me with? How can the scriptures give me hope or insight? We're wrestling in prayer, right? Not just kind of on the fly, but really spending time, man, pouring our heart out to God and praying. We're fasting. We're getting conversations and spiritual relationships where we're getting help and we're working through stuff. We're wrestling to be obedient to God, even though it's difficult. We're wrestling to repent, to change from the inside out. We're wrestling through surrendering and saying, okay, God, I'll trust you with this. I'll give this up. Wait, we've really got to be wrestling to give in to the cravings of the Spirit. You know, like I said, I think sometimes we're waiting for some magical moment of transformation. And I'd hate to break it to you, but it's probably not going to come. You know, that's what I've seen in my life is we got to choose to feed the Spirit and to obey God. You know, the unfortunate thing is that kale and green smoothies don't just suddenly taste good. It's an acquired taste, all right? How do you eat those things? It's like I've been working at it for months. You know, and I'm getting there. I'm starting to like it. I put a lot of pineapple in it. You know, feeding the Spirit, it's an acquired taste. All right, we have to choose to go where the Spirit is leading us. You know, one of the biggest things I wrestled with as a Christian was paying my uncle back. You know, this is a story I'm pretty ashamed of, to say the least. But stealing was something I wrestled with and gave into a lot before I became a Christian. You know, a lot of it was kind of in the ages of like 12 to 15 or so, and snacks from 7-Eleven and stupid stuff like that. And yet one time I was with a friend of mine and we were kind of just, you know, rummaging through my uncle's house when nobody was home. And we were going through his stuff and we stumbled upon a drawer in his office that had envelopes filled with cash. And this was cash that was clearly marked from rentals of his beach house. And we saw this and we're like, whoa. And we left the room and went and we were like, what do we do? Obviously, the sinful nature was loud. And so we went back and we took some of it. And this proceeded to happen multiple times over that year of being 13 or so. And I'd gone back by myself one time to take some money and eventually stopped and whatever. But when I studied the Bible to become a true Christian, this was something I confessed and I got open about. And it was a relief to confess this and to get it off my heart, because it was something I was really ashamed of as an 18-year-old and looking back on. And so I confessed that. You know, I got baptized, I became a Christian, I knew I was forgiven, but it was something that the Spirit and my conscience kind of weighed on me with, like, you need to pay him back. You need to tell him. Now, I know, you know, we all have that uncle that's kind of scary, and unfortunately, this was that uncle. I also was a broke college student, and so I had the Spirit saying, you got to get open with him, you've got to pay him back, and I had the sinful nature saying, wait till you can afford to pay him back. What if, can he still press charges? So then I've got the sinful nature kind of saying, don't, it's not a good idea. And then just my sinful nature, honestly, wanting to keep that money. You know, and I mean, I'd long spent it, but, you know, keep the money that I had in my savings and stuff like that. And so for a couple years as a Christian, this would pop up and I'd kind of wrestle with it a little bit, like the lame wrestle, kind of put it away, and then it would just come back. And it was something I got advice about, I talked about, and really what it came down to was saying, Rob, what would Jesus do here? What is the Spirit saying to do? You see men in the Bible like Zacchaeus, right? And I'm like, my conscience is, you know, like true repentance in 2 Corinthians, at every point we have proven ourselves to be innocent in this matter. I want to be spiritual. I want to be like Jesus. And I started to want that more than I wanted to keep that money. I started to want to please God and do what the Spirit would say to do more than I was afraid, more than I wanted to please myself. And when I decided I really wanted to be spiritual and feed the Spirit, I was able to have victory in this area. I was still afraid. I still wanted to keep the money, but I wanted to be spiritual more than that. And so first I talked to my dad about it, because I'm like, he's going to find out anyway. And I was like, maybe I could get some pointers on how to best go about telling his brother, right? And so that was kind of a good conversation there. And so, you know, I asked to meet up with my uncle, and kind of some leadway into this conversation was, you know, when you were younger, did you ever do stupid stuff that you regret and you wish you could take back? And he was like, oh, tons of stuff. And I was like, well, you know, I'm really ashamed of something I did, and I got open with him about it. I took the cash out that I had withdrawn, and I gave it all back to him. And he was absolutely, and I went into this like, is he going to hit me? What's going to happen here? And I was blown away at his response was just shock. And Rob, who does this? You know, who comes forward about something like this and pays back? And he's like, I don't need this money. You can keep it. And so I was like, well, cool. I was like, there is no situation where I leave here. I was like, this money has plagued me for years. Like, you're leaving here with this. And he was like, all right, I'll find some other way to give it back to you. I'm like, no, you don't need to give this back. This is your money, you know? And this was led to a really great spiritual conversation even. And I walked away from that really, really encouraged by God and encouraged at the victory that God had helped me to have in something that had been a battle for a couple years. You know, you have to decide whether you're ready or not, feel like it or not, want to or not. You got to decide, I'm going to do the spiritual thing. I'm going to do the right thing. And you've got to decide to rely on God, to take a step of faith in line with the Spirit, trusting and believing that if you do so, God will bless it and provide you with the strength, the perseverance, and the wisdom needed to be victorious. You know, if there's something like that that you're thinking about right now, if you don't feel ready yet, then that's great. That's fine, because then you'll need to rely on God, right? You'll need to rely on faith. So, you know, is there an area of your life right now where you know the Spirit is leading you, but you need to just choose to follow his cravings. Something you know what the Spirit is craving, and you just need to make a decision to listen. You know, pray, get advice, and decide today, man, I'm gonna wrestle with this, and I'm gonna be spiritual. Right? Maybe there's something compromising or getting priority over your walk with God that you need to change. Maybe there's someone that you need to forgive, or someone you need to apologize to or get resolved with. Maybe there's a lie that you need to go back and be honest about. You know, maybe God's increased your income, but you haven't increased your giving back to God. Maybe you're seeing something or you're starting to see something in your attitude or your character that you've just got to be honest with yourself about. You know, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, we need to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. We're not going to just magically, you're not going to wake up tomorrow magically ready, and God's not going to force us. Right? The Spirit tells us what he's craving through the life of Jesus and through his word. And so out of love, faith, and respect for God, we must have a mind change and choose the Spirit. And I know that God will bless our humility and faith to follow him. So this morning, what cravings of sin can you overcome by feeding the cravings of the Spirit? Now this morning, let's be a room of people deciding by faith to rely on God and to choose to live by the desires of the Spirit so that we won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And so we could be spiritual and pleasing to God. Let's crave humility over pride. Let's crave patience and kindness over anger and frustration. Let's choose peace and trust over worry and doubt. Let's choose to say what is beneficial for building up over grumbling and complaining. Let's be generous and selfless instead of being greedy and selfish. Let's choose to forgive over holding on or holding over. Let's crave ambition for God over apathy and selfish ambition. Let's choose gratitude over discontentment. Let's choose that we want to go to heaven more than we don't want to go to hell. And really want to be people who are spiritual, not just people trying not to be sinful. Let's crave Spirit more and more than we crave sin. And let's be the spiritual, God-pleasing men and women we're called to be. Amen. Thank you.